The following is Adam Ungstad's talk, Enterprise Taxonomy for FIFA, from the 2015 Information Architecture Summit.
Give you a little bit of an overview of kind of the structure of the ecosystem of football on the globe. There's FIFA, which is a federation of different football associations. Then there are six confederations, and the confederations basically deal with geographical areas. So there's one confederation for North America, one for Asia, one for Europe, one for Africa, and so on. There are 209 member associations. So every country basically has a member association. So the USA has a member association. There's a football club of Thailand, you know, football club of Senegal, Japan, sorry, football association of what each of those. Within each member association, there are clubs. Where I come from in Switzerland, there's a football club, has its own stadium. Within that club, it has a whole bunch of different teams and whatnot. And then you get the players, and this is again just professional players. I don't have statistics for how many teams and players there are, but there's a lot. One of the things we all love here at the IA Summit is context. So to give you a little bit of an example, FIFA is a global organization. It's nice to compare it to another global organization that I live close to in Switzerland, which is the United Nations. Within the United Nations, there are 193 member states. Within FIFA, there are actually 209 member associations. So people might argue that actually football is a bit more global than actual United Nations and whatnot. So I'm here to talk about enterprise taxonomy. What is taxonomy? Some people say it's a scheme of classification. Other people would say it is basically a knowledge organization system. Basically, a taxonomy is anything ranging from a simple list to a collection of synonyms, to hierarchies and sub-hierarchies, to a collection of facets, to an ontology and whatnot. Often in the IA community, a lot of our work focuses on the web. But what's happening now is that a lot of businesses are managing huge amounts of information within their own organization. They need to manage information, communicate with each other, communicate with other organizations, and none of that information actually gets on the web. So I think that there is definitely a burgeoning market for enterprise taxonomy. One statistic I read said, you know, the average knowledge worker spends 2.5 hours a day just trying to find information. Time is expensive, especially for knowledge workers and whatnot. Taxonomy definitely aids findability, discoverability. So why did FIFA need an enterprise taxonomy? They engaged me as a consultant. What were they trying to do, essentially? In a nutshell, they had a big archive of documents that they had produced throughout their entire lifespan. And again, this organization's been around since 1904. They had roughly 70,000 documents, all of them stored in a big SharePoint archive, which is called FIDEM. I'll give you some examples of some of the documents. I had to pare down this list, but a few examples. You know, this one looks like a pretty official document. It is the laws of the game, training manuals, meeting agendas and things like that. There's all types of different committees. We have circulars. A circular is like a letter that they would send to all of the teams that have qualified for the 2014 World Cup, or, you know, the Women's World Cup, which is coming up this year in Canada. Things like presentations. We have backgrounders, media releases. Photographs were also in this archive. And again, this is a circular from 1958, which was for the Jules Rimet Cup, which actually preceded the World Cup. Even things like stamps issued by the Faroe Islands, commemorating a particular game and stuff like that. That's just a short overview of the entire collection of different documents that were in this giant archive. So we had all these documents in this archive. Why did they need an enterprise taxonomy? Essentially, people wanted to start building automated publishing. They wanted to have, primarily it was the extranet that they were building. They wanted to have an extranet such that the Football Association of Thailand could log in to their extranet and see only documents and content that was actually relevant to Thailand. And so to be able to do that, you first need to sort of know who that person is logging into the extranet, but then you need to be able to link that person's identity with documents that are actually relevant to them. They also wanted to do the same thing for FIFA.com as well as their intranet. That was the first primary driver, setting up some of these automated publishing things, linking that archive to other information collections. The other business driver that the project sponsor really articulated was enterprise findability. In particular, the big pain point was actually correspondence. FIFA is a big organization. Even though they only have about 300 to 400 staff, what was happening is that somebody would write a letter to FIFA. It would come in to person A. He would receive that and he'd say, oh, actually, no, it's got to be person B who has to respond to that. Hopefully, person B actually did respond to it. But what was happening is that 2 months down the line, that same person would contact person C in the organization and say, hey, I wrote to you guys 2 months ago. Did you get back to me? No, you know, and then that person C has to go and try to find out where that correspondence went. So that chain of trying to manage correspondence throughout the organization was a real pain point for them. So this was originally a 4-month project that became a 6-month project. From a professional standpoint, I've worked in a project management office before, so I know a little bit about project management techniques and whatnot, and was really able to use them on this project. So I think a lot of taxonomy work is typically project-based, because it is, you come in, you have a set goal, you go, you do your work, and then you're done. Some organizations, taxonomy will be closer to an operational thing. I think for a lot of organizations, however, it's going to be something that deals with a project. It's really critical to set up your project right from the get-go. What really worked well for me on this project is the way we structured it. So we had our project sponsor. A project sponsor is typically somebody who funds the project and says, this is a priority for the organization. In this case, that was the head of the Secretary General's office. We had the project manager, who was the person that recruited me. We had myself, a consultant. And then what we did is we had a core team of about 5 people, with people from the archive collections, somebody from corporate legal, somebody from the project management office, somebody from information technology and whatnot. The core team were people that I worked with on quite a regular basis. I should give you a little bit of context. I was living in Geneva, FIFA was in Zurich, so most of this project was done remotely. I would go to Zurich, visit them once every 2 weeks or so, meet with the core team. Beneath the core team, we had the extended team, which is about 20 people or so, and their commitment to the project throughout the whole 6-month time frame was probably between 10 to 15 hours. So that was really useful. The core team was kind of comprised of people that had a real interest in this taxonomy, whereas the extended team were kind of more subject matter experts across FIFA, from marketing and communications to the grassroots program and things like that. The other thing that worked really well from a project planning standpoint for this project was dividing the project up into phases. When I submitted my application to the RFP, I said, this is the work I'm going to do. We're going to divide it into project phases. You have milestones and whatnot for each one of those phases. That was a good selling point, and I think that's why I was kind of able to actually get this project. I split this taxonomy. Again, this is actually my own project structure that I developed for this one. PMI has their own projects, frameworks, all kinds of things, Scrum and Agile and whatnot. This is what I came up with specifically for a taxonomy project. The discovery phase, a kickoff, a large component of the project is definition and classification, verification, testing, and then closeout. So what I want to do is actually walk you through what I did in each one of these different phases and whatnot. First up was the discovery phase. That's when I was basically just getting to know the people within the core team. What you're trying to do during the discovery phase is really trying to define what problem are you trying to solve, as well as what resources do you have to do with that. and also to really gain a good understanding of the collection that you are creating a taxonomy for. So some of the activities I did in that discovery phase were the stakeholder interviews. And I actually did stakeholder interviews the wrong way. I'm a big believer in interpersonal communication. People always say you're going to get the best conversations when you sit down across a table from somebody. I did that, and I took my computer and I sat in front of them. And what happened was that I was trying to take notes while I was talking to them, which really kind of impacted the flow of the conversation. I think the next time I do stakeholder interviews, I'll likely use something on the telephone so that you just have just a pure conversation and actually record the interview so that I can go back and take notes afterwards. That is not easily done, though, because that costs money often, particularly if you want to have your interviews transcribed. So you need to think about that early in the planning process. You may need to budget for it. Then, again, still in discovery, did some internal research. Part of it was going to this FEDM archive, the archive of 70,000 documents, and actually going through some of the analytics in terms of what has actually been used, as well as some of the search logs. Again, I mentioned FIFA is in Zurich, which meant that actually a lot of, not so much the search terms that people use, but rather the sort of SharePoint-y stuff was in Swiss German, which was really difficult for me to actually be able to navigate and understand what I was looking at a lot of the time. And I was actually surprised by the little amount of analytics that were available. Analytics are big for websites and whatnot. I'd like to see them be bigger for large information management systems within organizations. As I mentioned again, within the discovery phase, a big part of it was really getting to know the collection I'm working with. Still to this day, I don't really know a whole lot about football. So I spent, you know, at least probably a week or 2 weeks just reading all of these documents and getting to know this collection inside out, building my own sub-collection of those documents so that I could actually use them to prepare for the project kickoff workshop. Part of also preparations for the kickoff workshop is one of the activities I'll talk a little bit about was card sorting, needed to actually come up with terms and things like that to be able to card sort for these things. The project kickoff workshop. I did this as a half day. And what I did actually, instead of doing just the morning or the afternoon, is I think we started at about 10 o'clock, and then I think we went to like 3:30 or something. So people were able to kind of bookend their day with their own time at either end of it. We gave them lunch too, which was nice to have a little bit of unstructured conversation throughout the kickoff workshop. One of the things that also is really critical, I think, to starting off a taxonomy project right, if you can, is to have that project sponsor present. Project sponsors are usually people with a lot of influence in the organization. They're going to be busy. They're going to have lots of things to do that are probably, they perceive as way more important than the taxonomy and whatnot. If you can get them there for at least the first 10 minutes, they open the workshop. They say, this is a big priority for me. I'm glad to see all of you here. That will make a big difference to how your project actually proceeds. So some of the exercises that I did in the workshop, first thing we did is actually we came in, had a stack of documents, as I mentioned, because I had made my own sub-collection of that collection of documents. And I gave people a piece of paper, and I said, here's your document, define this document for me. A big, blank, unstructured piece of paper, define that for me. That worked well because it's got people thinking a little bit about, you know, why we were there. Next exercise I did is something I invented. I call metadata dotmocracy. There's actually an example of dotmocracy right outside this hallway for the flex sessions and whatnot. National Information Standards Organization within the US, they look at metadata and they divide metadata up into three different classifications, essentially. They divide metadata into administrative, descriptive, and structural metadata. During the discovery phase, I collected a number of different potential facets, a number of different ways of classifying documents from existing taxonomies within the organization, as well as from my own knowledge, as well as from certain standards and whatnot. Divided those all up into administrative, descriptive, and structural metadata. Gave all the participants 10 dots, They had to go put all the dots on the terms that actually mean the most to them. And then that way, if something's really important, they can put all 10 dots on one term, they can put 5 on one, 2 on the other, 3 on something else. And then basically, this is a type up of the results that I got. And this was a really useful exercise for me because I learned what people's priorities were in the room. I learned that life cycle status was really important, and that projects were also important to people, authors were important to people. I learned that nobody really cared too much about structural metadata, which was surprising, and also a bit of a relief because it meant I didn't have to deal with that whole side of things. People did care about relationships between documents, which is coming back to that correspondence example. People wanted to know, is this a response to that correspondence, and that one's responded to this and whatnot. It's a really useful exercise. This essentially is a collection of metadata elements that I can use to go and classify those documents. What we did next is something called metadata elements and values cards. That, essentially, I took each one of those metadata elements, put people into groups of 2 or 3, and said, here's your element, life cycle status. Now you help me create a controlled list of what terms can go into that element and whatnot. So in theory, I would get something like this. For an example, for a FIFA committee, people would sit down, you know, if that was one of the ones that actually got voted in the metadata democracy, people would go and then list all the actual terms that could fit in there for me. I'll say this had mixed results. Sometimes this worked really well, but it's actually really hard to get a really comprehensive list out of people when they're just kind of sitting there and they can't actually go and refer to other things. The other thing is that a lot of attributes actually aren't really relevant to a controlled list. So attributes like authors and whatnot, attributes like identifiers and titles, you can't really come up with a controlled list for that. Next exercise was defining official, because as a consultant, my job was to come up with a way to classify all official documents. But in the discovery phase, I had big questions about what exactly is an official document. And that's very critical from a project management perspective to be able to manage the scope of your project. So I had people define what meant official to them. Some of the responses I got were things like, everything on FIFA.com is an official document. Another person said, everything in FIDM, that big archive, is an official document. Somebody else said, all official documents have to be signed. If it's not signed by somebody, then it's not an official document. Somebody else said, correspondence, if you send a letter to just one person or just one organization and it's signed, it's not an official document. But in the case of like a circular, a letter that goes to a whole bunch of people, that is an official document. Somebody said, if it has a FIFA logo on it, then it's an official document. Right? There's a lot of discussion on this. One of the other things that came up was, is a document quote unquote binding? So then are contracts official documents too? That was useful because it helped me articulate that and actually kind of discover some of the things that I had to work with. Then we did card sorting. Card sorting, you can do it in person or online. Online, they're both going to take you a lot of work to set up. Online will make it much easier for you to analyze the results afterwards. But I actually like doing card sorting in person because you actually get to facilitate the conversations and whatnot. And I found it was a great way to get people to understand what the project was really all about. Last exercise in the kickoff workshop was a World Cafe, which is essentially, I'm sure you guys have all done something like this, where you get people together and split them up into groups. You give them a problem to solve. They talk about it. Somebody documents it and whatnot. So I basically did the same thing. And I gave people a very structured document sheet, they said. And at the beginning, I just gave them a blank document, said, define this. For this one, I gave them documents again, but then I actually said, okay, and here's, you know, sort of static metadata elements. There's administrative, descriptive, structural. People had to actually go and write those things out and whatnot. In terms of the actual analysis and definition, you know, what happens in sort of the biggest phase of the project, building a draft taxonomy. Again, you had to analyze workshop results, took a lot of time. a lot of taxonomy development is finding other taxonomies and putting them together and figuring out where are the gaps, where do things fit, where do things not quite fit, where are things duplicated, whatnot. A lot of talk with the core team, lots of iterations with them, and again, managing that project scope. So one of the things that came up, particularly in taxonomy development, is synonyms and preferred terms. This is an exercise that we did with the extended team to actually solve some of those synonyms and preferred terms. I was looking through all these terms and I found things like academy and technical center that seem to be used interchangeably. Are these things the same thing or not? I didn't really know. So again, academy and technical center, that's the first two words on the top of that sheet. I gave people sheets like that with things I thought that were synonyms. Another example was event, competition, tournament, and match. Are those all the same thing or are they different and whatnot? And so basically had people actually sit down, work together, try to solve some of that stuff. Along with synonyms, I was finding things, terms that were often used together that seemed to be meaning the same thing. So I did an exercise I called term granularity. An example, there's this term organizational review and leadership retreat. Always came together, kind of like the letters Q and U in the alphabet. They always go together. But I wasn't sure if these things were necessarily the same thing, or maybe they should actually be separated to create two separate facets from there. You know, is there always a leadership retreat with an organizational review, or can you do an organizational review without a leadership retreat? Did a similar exercise with that, put the terms up there, got people to solve them. Standards, I think, are a real place where an information architect can bring value to an organization. This one, we use the Dublin Core, 15 elements. When I was first getting started in this field, standards were very scary. Their websites were really dry and kind of boring. But the Dublin Core stuff, I think everybody should go home and spend an afternoon reading it because it really is quite easy to learn. We also did use another standard. The archival team wanted to use something called the General International Standard Archival Description, another standard that's used primarily for fonds, which is a fond is a collection of collections. The other thing about standards is that, you know, I use the Dublin Core 15 elements for metadata elements, but again, as we saw, the metadata elements and values cards, you have your elements and then you need to have controlled lists. One of the Dublin Core elements is format for a file or whatever it is that you are classifying. Dublin Core actually says, okay, use format for your metadata element, and then what you should do is use ISO 639 for all of the terms that can be used in that format element. So ISO 639 was things like .mp3, .docx, .whatever and whatnot. So that gives you a really solid foundation. It also makes your collection interoperable with other collections. So if FIFA decides to merge their collection with something else in the future, they can do that. The standards, I think we've all heard the term, metadata is a love letter to the future. That's what standards are all about. We all also probably all heard the 80-20 rule, which is also known as the Pareto, I think, principle. I found that, you know, parts of this collection were very, very easy. Parts of the taxonomy were pretty straightforward, but there were certain parts that took up a lot of my time. One of them was trying to figure out what is the difference between a manual, a guideline, a handbook, a policy, a directive, a standing order, interpretations, statements, cookbooks. This is a bit of a two-dimensional problem because what is the difference between all these things in terms of documents that have been published versus documents that should be? What should they be, right? If something is labeled as a cookbook, should it really be just a manual? Things like that. That took up a lot of time. Some of the other challenges I had in this phase were trying to get sensitive information from people. We had decided that contracts were official documents, so I had to get a list of contract types from the commercial legal department, which is that challenge because they didn't want to give me that information. So I had to work on that and use a variety of techniques to actually get that information. And they actually had a very well-structured list of defined types of contracts and whatnot. Again, managing scope and getting feedback from subject experts in a timely manner, because again, for a lot of people, this is outside of their core job. and it can be hard for them to take time to actually tell you about certain things when they have their own work that they need to do. A really quick example of a list that actually appears throughout the organization everywhere. This is a list of a snippet of those 209 member associations. This appears everywhere. And if you read this, you're going to learn pretty quickly that this is not in English. It's not also not just, you know, Spanish or something like that. This is a whole mix of different types of languages, which is the right thing to do if being very official is what you need to do, right? If you were writing a letter to the Austrian Commission, whatever, that's what you would want to do. However, this is not very scannable. Like, in terms of the Suomen Palloliitto is the Finnish Football Association. If you don't already know that, you're going to have to Google every single 209 terms to actually figure out what is the right one. And again, also we see our favorite, the word the, skewing the alphabetical listing, painful. There's one called the Football Association, which kind of drove me nuts because I thought of all 209 associations, all of them said, you know, the association of this, the association of Thailand, the association of Senegal, the association of Switzerland. I thought, what country is just the Football Association? Turns out it was England. Apparently they like invented football. This is what I did to make that list. Again, this is a snippet. I took all those terms, put it just in one language, so now this is a lot easier to scan. Talking about testing and validation, did tree testing, which is pretty standard. Great online tool, Optimal Workshop. Thing I found with tree testing that I actually just kind of like almost forgot is that you need to have iterations of tree testing. It's not enough to do tree testing once. You have to do it, you know, at least two or three times, because tree testing will tell you, this is a picture, an example of a bad task that people had to go and find and navigate because everybody went in different directions. That'll tell you, you do it once, it tells you where your problems are, but then you need to make your changes to your structure and then actually test those changes to make sure that they are actually better than the first thing that you did. Other thing we found was, I love grocery stores as an example of a taxonomy because, you know, there's what section you find the object you want in. The key with taxonomy, a lot of the focus is on finding things within the taxonomy, but that makes a very dangerous assumption that things have actually been classified right in the first place. So for this, we tested to see all the people who are uploading documents to the big archive, would they actually tag things properly so that those things could then later be found? I couldn't find any commercial system to test this, so I did basically an Excel DIY version, which is, again, useful to actually see how do people actually tag things rather than how do they actually find them. Project closeout. Taxonomy, usually it's going to be your final deliverable, a giant Excel spreadsheet. It is really nice if you can do even a basic visualizations of the first sets of your classes and whatnot. So, I mean, the thing that's up there is like a radial mind map. Doesn't, like the fact that it's radial doesn't actually inform you of anything. It could still also be a tree, but it looks pretty. People actually would look at that rather than looking at the Excel document. One of the other portions, and I was just like one small thing we did in the taxonomy was I actually created a standards map to show how some of the terms I had in the taxonomy mapped up to the two different standards and what user labels to use. So an example, Dublin Core has an element called coverage, which what they mean is geographical location. But when testing, people thought coverage meant what is the subject of it. So we kept the semantics of that term, but I use a different user-facing label that users would see on whatever system they're using called place and whatnot. Final report, I didn't actually, so for this project, had a lot of connections to other parts of information management, to workflows, to quality control, to document lifecycle. Didn't really get into that in this presentation, but that was a big part of the project that I didn't expect. Final report covered a lot of those types of questions. Afterwards, so that final report also needed to kind of start raising some new questions in terms of how will you tag all of these documents, both the new ones, what will be the workflow, as well as the existing ones. Where will the metadata be stored? So you're going to store metadata inside the PDFs? Are you going to store it in your SharePoint catalog? Or is it somehow going to be stored in a cloud application? So like iTunes, great note. iTunes on your computer doesn't have the metadata for your favorite album. It goes out to the cloud and pulls the thumbnail and things like that into there too. So you got to start thinking about some of those things. Actually, there's another one format, which is a sidecar file too. Who's going to maintain the taxonomy? What other collections need to be aligned with it? What makes a good taxonomy? From my perspective, it is balancing correctness with user mental models. An example of that is a tomato. From science, a tomato is a vegetable. If you're trying to do arrange a grocery store in terms of what is correct in terms of science, you're going to put that tomato next to the oranges and apples. Users aren't going to find it there because their mental model is that a tomato is a vegetable. Some of the lessons that I learned from the project were needing to manage expectations and scope. A big one for me actually was addressing implementation at the start of the project. My job in this project was come up with a classification scheme, and then basically I left. And I think both me and FIFA underestimated the amount of work that it is to actually take that classification scheme and then actually apply it to that collection. How are you actually going to go and classify all 70,000 of these documents? As an information architect, I think my own career goal is to kind of learn a little bit more about auto classification and actually kind of learn a little bit more of those things, both because it's something the client needed to do, but also because it would help me to kind of facilitate the next step of these types of things. And again, workflow, life cycles, org structures, everything is intertwined, as they say. And that's all I've got for you. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Andrew. Thank you for the great presentation. One quick question. You said at the beginning that knowledge workers spend 2.5 hours a day looking for information. Can you talk a little bit about the benefit that FIFA saw once your project was implemented?
The benefits that they saw in actually doing this work? Well, a large portion of it was that they simply could not build this extranet unless the stuff was actually classified properly. It was just a matter of fact. Like, you cannot build this thing that they had envisioned unless they actually had this stuff arranged properly in the first place. And as well, just, you know, I talked a little bit about the sort of correspondence factor, but a lot of people were starting to articulate that frustration for other documents and things too, right? Part of the document management thing is that there were no real kind of workflows in place to where to actually store stuff, right? So you're getting stuff stored in email and on file stores and things like that. So part of the taxonomy thing was to actually kind of start that fire, start that process of actually getting some real proper enterprise workflows in place and whatnot.
Thank you so much for showing us a peek into your process. That was so interesting. So my question is, did you move away from SharePoint? Yes or no question.
So as I said, I was lucky as an information architect. It didn't matter what platform it was on, right? I just came up with a set of classification schemes and whatnot.
Got it.
I think they still are using SharePoint. Okay. Microsoft has its way of just ingraining itself in these organizations and then can't get rid of it, right? So I think that they are still using SharePoint.
So when you were doing this work, were you working with somebody else that was designing or configuring the updates to the CMS? Or was that just not part of the scope of the project?
It was not part of the scope of it, but it probably should have been, is kind of what I was trying to get at, is that, you know, I was working just in theory and just coming up with those facets and classes in isolation for, you know, what bricks you're actually going to use to make that building and whatnot. And I think that is something that I want to develop a bit more, even, you know, become a SharePoint expert, because a lot of jobs out there are, you know, SharePoint information architect, and it's so common in there too, right? It's also something to think about in terms of, you know, if you want to implement it, things, you got to think about how you're going to implement it to design the solution, right? And that's something that I think personally I need to work a bit more on too.
You mentioned particularly with the process of coming to decide what was an official document that there were quite a few different opinions. For that and for some other decisions, how did you sort of either come to consensus or sort of break a tie? How did you come to make a decision on those?
I think essentially what we did is, so a large part of the project was actually they wanted to have types of documents, so manuals and things like that. You know, I threw up some sort of one-sentence definitions and whatnot, but we didn't come up with a one-sentence-fits-all definition. We basically had a draft of different document types. I sat down, and that was largely done with me and the project manager, right, and said, okay, drew a line kind of through all these things and said, okay, yeah, these are all the things that we're going to include in our definition as an official document and whatnot. Because, you know, I mean, that's the type of thing that you can have a vague sort of idea for it, but it is, if you're trying to manage a project, you probably have some specifics on it, right? And yeah.
Hi, I just want to know what tools you used during the process for the taxonomy development and the tree testing and all that. Which software or tools you used for this?
Excel is a big one. Most of the software needs were actually pretty basic, things like Excel. For the testing, whatnot, I used Optimal Workshop, which is a great tool because it's cheap. I mean, it costs like $100 to use it for like one project or something, and it gives you lots of sort of fancy diagrams you can go and show to people and whatnot. Didn't really use very many fancy tools, and I know that there are a lot of like sort of taxonomy governance kind of tools and things like that. I'm very interested in learning more about those, but most of this stuff was just done, you know, just using Excel, you know, some sort of visualization tools and whatnot. I used some like mind mapping software to create some of those radial diagrams. I think there's a lot more that I could learn to actually start visualizing some of those things, which I think is also something that would help to make me look like even more of a super duper pro, right? To actually have a great idea of know how to actually visualize some of the things. Yeah, I know that there are certain software things like Smart Logic and Mondetta and stuff like that what will kind of help you sort of auto-classify things and can be linked into SharePoint and stuff like that. I can't say that I use them though on this project. Yeah.
Hi, Adam. Question about the participants in the exercises. So you had the DOT exercises, and were the participants already familiar with the terms like administrative metadata and life cycles? Did you need to do some education with them?
I think the question was, were they like experts in metadata and stuff like that?
Yeah, were they familiar? Just did they have a basic understanding of metadata and the terms like life cycle? Or did you have to do some education?
Metadata, no. Life cycle, maybe. You know, the pain point for life cycle was versions and stuff like that. You have one version of regulations. Is this their most current one, or has there been a superseded one and stuff like that? They didn't know the terms to describe the problems, but they knew the problems, right? They knew that they were having trouble, you know, like trying to get certain quality workflows throughout the organization. They could articulate the problem to them, but no, they didn't really know about metadata and stuff like that. So like in the workshop, I used stories that were really relevant to them. So I told them a story about arriving to Switzerland and trying to find my favorite juice in the grocery store to get them to start to understand taxonomy about how I looked, you know, in the juice section, and I looked in the fresh juice section, and then in the like the cold section, couldn't find it, gave up. My wife found it in the import section later, right? So use some stories that kind of everybody can relate to kind of get them to understand a little bit more about taxonomy and metadata and whatnot. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is our time for questions. I'd like to thank Adam for coming and speaking to us and sharing his expertise.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast from the 2015 IA Summit, subscribe and check out the full collection at library.iasummit.org and on iTunes. The 2015 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by the UIE All You Can Learn Library. The All You Can Learn Library will give you the skills and techniques you need for a competitive design advantage with 24/7 access to experts and UX topics. For more information, visit aycl.uie.com. That's aycl.uie.com. As always, thanks for listening.